Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip, and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Up on the projector thing, and you need to tell me what they represent, okay? So please put up your hand, and the first person to put up their hand, I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of answer that question, and there's chocolate involved. Okay, so you guys ready? Again, are you ready? Yeah. There we go. Okay, number one. Guess the symbol. There's no symbol. Haha. Matthew, Michael. Instagram. There's a melted chocolate. Okay, next. McDonald's. You're more than welcome to. Okay. There we go, Starbucks. Ooh, can anyone get this? Samuel? What did you say? You didn't say anyone. Someone shouted out the answer, I heard it. Can anyone guess? Come on. Youth guys? Fortnite, yay! There we go. Oh, too soon. Belgium football! There we go. Sorry, England. Okay. Confusion. Okay, this is a road sign in South Africa that I used to drive past, and it doesn't really represent anything because they're really confused. Okay, this is worth two chocolates. If you can tell me what this represents. Okay. Oh, let's see. I mean, kind of. Okay, what is the signal and the symbol called? Can anyone tell me? No. Ichthus. What does ichthus mean? No. It means fish, okay. But it's an acronym for. There we go. Well done. Okay, so this was a symbol that was used in the early church. Because the early church was persecuted, they would mark their doors with a fish. Okay, and the word ichthus, which is Greek for fish, was an acronym for Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. Yeah. Okay. There's a melted and crushed Twix. Okay, we use symbols. When we saw these symbols kind of put up on the screen, you automatically knew what they represented. Okay, they all stand for something. And really, really quick question. What is our symbol as Christians? Not the fish. Mike? The cross. The cross, yay! Okay. The cross. But why do we have the cross as a symbol for Christianity? It's really, really weird. Like, we have a look at McDonald's, okay, and it's got the golden arches. We don't kind of associate McDonald's with, like, heart disease and all of that kind of stuff, where the cross in ancient times was one of the most worst, like, torture devices known to mankind. It was a symbol of shame, it was a symbol of pain, of suffering, of torture. Okay, why do we as Christians wear it as a representation of our faith? Okay, we've got Michael, who, lift up your arm. He's got a tattooed on his arm. Okay, why do we use the cross as a symbol for our faith? Okay, and during this term, we've been going through the story of Jesus in the Gospels. So we've been looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, and kind of looking at his story and where does it go towards. So today, we are going to be speaking about the cross, towards the cross. Okay, but why the cross? Okay, and we're going to start off with a quote by a guy named Matthew Henry, who was a biblical commentator. He lived a really long time ago, but if anyone studied theology, you've used his commentaries in essays and all of that kind of stuff. He was a Welsh guy. Okay, and he says, come and see the victories of the cross. Christ's wounds are thy healings. Okay, this was a really long time ago. That's why there's thy and that stuff. His agonies, thy response. His conflicts, thy conquests. His groans, thy songs. His groans, thy songs. His pains, thine ease. His shame, thy glory. His death, thy life. His suffering, thy salvation. Okay, the reason why we as Christians view the cross as a symbol of our faith, even though it was used for torture, even though it murdered the founder of our faith. Okay, the reason why we do that is because if you read the Bible, Old Testament into the New Testament, the whole heart of the gospel points to the cross. Okay, the summation of our faith is founded upon the cross. If we look at the Gospels as an account of Jesus' life, if we see the Gospel as an account of God's life when he came in the person of Jesus, and we look at God's character, if it's a revelation of who God was, nothing in Scripture points more to God's nature than the cross. Okay, and we're going to be having a look. Okay, my description for this sermon was towards the cross through the Synoptic Gospels. Okay, I don't know what that means, really. Okay, so I've kind of gone on my own little whim here. And I went and I had a look. And the Gospel of Mark, I was like, that's a good way to start. That was the first gospel written. But something that's quite amazing, if you look at the Gospel of Mark, is that a third of the book is written about Jesus' death, his path towards the cross. Okay, and there's something powerful in that, that somebody who took the time to document Jesus' life, as spoken by Peter, that he is trying to find the significance of the founder of our faith, spent a third of the pages of his writings documenting Jesus' death. Can you imagine if Andy was given the job of writing Henry's biography, and he spent kind of two-thirds of the book writing about what Henry did, and then spent the last third writing about how Henry died? Okay, that would be really weird, unless Henry died in a really, really, like, funny way. Sorry, really interesting way. That's the best word. Okay, like, I don't know. I'm not going to wish that on anyone. Okay, so I'm not going to get into that. But something that's quite powerful when we look into the context of the book of Mark is that the Gospel of Mark was the first gospel that was written, so it was addressing an early church. So this wasn't kind of like an eyewitness account as it was happening. It was Peter retelling the story written down to Mark, okay, written by Mark, and he was addressing, all of the gospel writers addressed issues that were happening in the church during that time. Okay, and one of the big ones that Mark was addressing was within the Gentile church, where they couldn't understand how God, how a Messiah could die on the cross, because that was a torture, a death that was reserved for criminals and people that they just wanted to bring shame upon. They couldn't justify how God could do that. So in their teachings, they taught about Jesus' life, they taught about Jesus' resurrection, but they left out Jesus' death and they left out his crucifixion. And Mark, in his gospel, telling us about who Jesus was, telling us about Jesus' life, decided that this was so important that he spent a third of his book documenting Jesus' walk towards the cross. And the reason for that, like I said before, is that we see more of God's character and those stories than we do throughout the Bible. Okay, so what I'm going to be doing, okay, I know I've been speaking for a bit now, but I'm going to divide you into groups. So 5 different groups. If the hospitality team could please hand out Bibles. Okay, and this is a third of the book of the gospel. I'm not going to read all of that, okay, to you guys, because that's going to be really boring. So what I'm going to do is give you a passage of scripture. It's one of the major stories in the gospel. And I want you guys to kind of chat in between yourselves. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to read the passage and chat. What does this tell us about the nature of God? And what does this tell us about why we use the cross as a symbol for our faith? Okay, so your different groups, I'm going to divide you guys towards the back here. Okay, I've only got a really small piece of paper. I'm sorry. If you could read it out to everyone else. Chris, would you mind taking this one? Okay, if you don't mind taking that one. And we'll split you Sheikah's row. You're part of that group. Can I give you that? If you could just shout out the reference to everyone else, that would be great. And then if you guys could please go and sit with everyone on the side there and then take that passage. Okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Again, if you can't remember what it was called, okay, what you're doing, yeah? Yeah, but I want you guys to read it and kind of discuss amongst yourselves. So you can divide into smaller groups if you want to. Okay, you're going to be speaking about, in this instance, in the Bible, what is this telling us about God, the nature of Jesus, and why we have the cross as a symbol of our faith? What is the significance of the cross? Okay, I'm going to ask you guys to please feedback. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to get one person from each group. So if you would like to feedback, put up your hand, tell us what kind of like the theme of your passage was, and what does this tell us about God's nature, and what does this tell us about the significance of the cross? Okay, so we're going to start with that group at the back there with Rosie Hughes and... Well, anyone who wants to share there, just raise your hands. Would anyone like to share what they kind of got out of the passage? Okay, Luella.
Just that the fact that he died, it's almost like he's given a gateway, like that cross is almost a gateway for our relationship with God. Mm. And the fact that Jesus sacrificed his life, he sacrificed the gift of God. So that cross is like the most, like the worst death you could ever have, and that he did that for us.
Thank you. What was the theme of your passage? What did it say at the top? The crucifixion. Okay, this group over here, so with Michael, in that group, anyone want to share?
Do you guys want to share? Okay. I've been nominated. Our scripture was about Jesus in the court with Pilate, like the court, and the things we got out of it was that Jesus was blameless. All the accounts they brought against him are false. And just like what he did with Barabbas in a very tangible way, he took our place in death by going on the cross. Because they called Barabbas, or they called, they asked him to be, or they told him to be crucified instead of Barabbas. Mm.
Yeah. Great, thank you. Would this group like to go? They have the Garden of Gethsemane.
All right, yeah, so we have the Garden of Gethsemane, and we said that it's like really strong that Jesus goes, before he's going on to the cross, he's praying like hours and hours and hours, just spending time with God. And yeah, and then also it shows his like his that he's 100% human, because he's scared, so that's why he said, oh please, is it not possible that you let the cup pass me? But on the other hand, he says he's strong, because he said, all right, I'm doing, and he's obedient, so he said, I'm doing what your will is and not mine. So
that's great. Thank you, Charlene. Okay, this group at the front here. So with Samuel and everyone there. Would anyone like to feedback?
So Arm was the Last Supper, and it sort of showed that God was omniscient, that he knows all things. I think that's right. Yeah, and also that he sort of spoke about Judas and what he was going to do, but he didn't directly reference to Judas. So it also shows that things that God does in our lives isn't for the purpose of shaming us or causing problems. It's for the purpose of addressing the issues in our character. And yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. And the last group at the back there.
Yeah, so we were looking at the triumph entry. And yeah, we just got the line of David. I think that's from like the verse at the end where it said, where Kralto like blessed. Line of David thing. Upside down kingdom as well. That how like it was done almost the opposite way you would think it would. And kind of thing of it was like a yeah, possessing for a king, but also it's like it was very different, not in a normal way. Humility as well, and got all-knowing God, so a bit about how Jesus kind of knew exactly where the colt was and that with the disciples, and then quotation of prophecy as well from Psalms and Isaiah.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, so these are the topics that we're going to be speaking through. So what I'd really love to encourage you guys to do, I can't go through them all, otherwise we're going to be here past the football tonight. I would love if you went home and you read these passages, okay, during the course of this week, reading and just trying to find what is God's nature through this and what does this tell us about the significance of the cross. Okay, and we're going to be spending just a little bit of time looking into these. But for me, when I look at these passages and what I think Mark and a lot of scholars believe Mark was trying to say was when we see the cross, we are reminded of Jesus' triumphant entry, of the when we look at the passage about the triumphant entry. So that's when he went into Jerusalem and we have Palm Sunday and everyone was laying down palms and they're saying, Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lion of David. We see that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay, when we look at the cross, we are reminded that Jesus was the person who was prophesied about in the Old Testament, that when we sinned, that God made a plan to reunite us with him through a Messiah. Okay, in the Jewish context, they believed that he was going to be kind of like Rambo, where he was going to come down and just basically destroy the Romans and reestablish Israel as his chosen people. But God had a much bigger plan than that. Okay, God came down in the person of Jesus, died on the cross, so that every nation on earth can come to him and be established as his people. Okay, when we look at the cross, we are reminded that Jesus was that Messiah. Okay, people mocked him in that passage. And if we have a look later on, they were like, if you are the Messiah, step down from the cross. But they didn't know that in Psalm 22:16, there was a prophecy that our Savior's hands and his feet would be pierced. Jesus was the Messiah. When we look at the cross, we are reminded that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise. If we have a look at this Last Supper, and we celebrate this a lot, especially in, if you go to a proper Anglo-Catholic church, okay, this is the center point of their worship, and this is where Jesus broke the bread and gave the wine. And what we are reminded of when we look at the cross and we look at this passage, we're reminded that we have a relationship with God. We don't have to do this, 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 and this to have communion with God. It's not about a bunch of ceremonies. It's not about us being like kind of holy or whatever. It's about the fact that because of Jesus' death, because he gave his body, because he gave his blood, we can have a relationship with our God. We are in constant communion with our God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's something beautiful. That's something that sets our faith apart. That's something that's just, we'll see in the next passage, that's something extremely powerful about the imagery of the cross. Next, and there's a passage that we see in 1 John that says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to put a few kind of like New Testament, like epistle references, just to show that I'm not kind of like drawing this out of thin air, that these are biblical principles. But we know that we can have true communion with each other. We can be established as the body of Christ. We can be St. Barnabas because we have relationship with God. Okay, when we look at the Garden of Gethsemane, that's when Jesus went to pray and he said, Lord, lift this cup from me, but your will be done. We see Jesus' humanity. Okay, we see that Jesus was completely God, but we also are reminded that Jesus was completely human, sorry, the heat. But how beautiful is that? That we are in relationship with God, but not just some distant person, but somebody who understands our pain, somebody who understands our anxiety, our stress, who understands suffering, that he's so much more than just some distant God. But we have a Father, we have a God that we are in perfect relationship with, that we who understands what we're going through. When we look at the cross, we are reminded that when we suffer, we do not suffer alone. When we look at the cross, we're reminded that we have a God who says, "Come to me, all who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it is light and it is gentle." And that's something that's incredible for us as Christians, that when we look at the cross, we know that this is who God is. And we see Jesus' humanity, and "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he, Jesus, said to them when he was speaking to his disciples. We know that we have a God who understands us. He's perfectly empathetic. Okay, when we look at Peter's denial and Jesus' trial, so this is when Jesus went on trial. Again, it's kind of compared, it's paralleled with Peter's denial, where Peter was like, people went and asked, "Are you Jesus' disciple?" And he said, "No." He denied him three times. Okay, and there's a comparison that comes across here, and you guys drew really well, where you said that Jesus was completely blameless in that. We see in Jesus' trial that he did nothing wrong. Okay, he didn't die because, like, he went and did a whole bunch of really bad stuff. Okay, he was completely blameless. He was sinless. But then we see Peter, and we see this comparison a lot in those other passages, is that we are sinful. Okay, when we look at the cross, we don't just look at kind of this empty wooden thing. We see our own sinfulness there, knowing that there's nothing that we can do in our own power to be made right with God. So Jesus himself had to die on that cross. When we look at the trial, we see that the second that Peter was kind of like put under a little bit of fire, he crumbled. And that's what we do. We are sinful. We fall short of the glory of God, as it says in Romans 3:23. We've all done that. But an all-loving God stepped down in the person of Jesus and died on that cross so that we could have a relationship with him, even though we sinned. Okay, we look at that cross and we see our own sinfulness, but we see that there's a loving God who took that sin away so that we could have a relationship with him. Okay, and I think the most powerful thing that we see in Jesus' death and the crucifixion is we see God's love. Like, in the world today, there's so much talk about love. Okay, I've been watching Love Island. Okay, I know a lot of you, there's a bit of judgment there. It's a great insight into British culture, not really. But, like, these people go into this, like, kind of island to look for love or money or whatever it might be. Like, we've got this idea of what love is. But when we look at the cross, we see the epitome of this love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. That is, in Greek, there's a word called agape, which is the unconditional love of God. That we know love because we see what Jesus did on the cross. When we look at the cross, we see our sinfulness, but we also understand what love is. We also understand that God, a creator of the world, the person who created us, the person who knows us the most out of anyone, loves us so much that he stepped down into this earth and died on that cross so that he could have a relationship with you. Okay, I know this has been a lot of really big preach, and I am going to draw this to a close. So what I want you to, I'm going to call the Andy up. I want you guys to just close your eyes. And my challenge, like, to you guys is, what do you see when you look upon the cross? For a lot of pop culture, we kind of, it doesn't really have a significance, really. Like, people wear it as jewelry, people have it, like, tattooed onto them and that kind of stuff with no real significance. It just really looks cool, apart from Michael, who's got all the significance. What do you see when you look upon the cross? Because that's going to be your response to Jesus. Do you see your sinfulness? Do you see God's love? Do you see God's humanity? And do you see a symbol of our faith? Do you see a symbol of the work that God's been doing in your life, creating you and empowering you into a person after his own image? Or do you see like this random thing that a lot of really big churches have. Okay, and we're going to give you an opportunity in a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of prayer for you guys. We've got a prayer team who's going to come up. Do we do that in the evening service? Yeah? And we would love for you to come forward. If you're somebody who has never really experienced this nature of God, that you don't really understand the significance of the cross, it's never really been real in your life, it's just something where you look at the cross and you're like, oh, that's pretty, or that's not really pretty. We would love for you to come forward and encounter this loving Savior, this loving God who stepped down and died so that he could know you individually, so that he could love you unconditionally, so that he could be there to understand your pain and to empower you through it and create you into the man or woman that you were created to be. I would love for that for each and every single one of you. Okay, when we looked at symbols, symbols have power. They do. They remind us of stuff. I'm going to tell you a very quick story. When I was a kid, I got the best birthday present I'd ever got. It was a Superman outfit. Okay, like it was legit. It was like the proper thing with the cape and all of that, like the pants over the top and that. And when I put that on, I believed I was Superman beyond everything. I saw that S in the thing. I was like, yes. Okay, for all you guys who know like my past or understand a bit of psychology, it's like projecting, whatever. I was Superman, okay? And I used to go into our playground and I'd watch. And when kids got like bullied and that kind of stuff, like I'd run in and be like, Superman. And like, yeah, I was a weird kid. Until one day, like it got so bad that I refused to take this off. We wear school uniforms like to every bit of school that we go to. And I'd wear it underneath and I'd like literally stand on the playground and like unbutton my shirt and have that if a kid was being bullied, I'd like run in. And like it got so bad that like you guys think this is hot. Like wait until you experience Durban. And like this thing was peeling off of my body because I just refused to take it off. And one day I was like standing at the top on my lookout, okay, it was the top of a jungle gym, and I was like looking for everything. I saw a kid who was being bullied and I was like, I'll go and save him. And like I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I jumped off this jungle gym, I was gonna fly and I was gonna go and save this kid because I was Superman. And I jumped and I fell and I broke my arm. Okay, so there, in that point, I didn't believe I was Superman anymore, but symbols have a power over us. Okay, what is the power when you look at the cross? Is it the center of your identity, or is it just something random that you have? So please come forward, spend some time worshiping God. The cross is also the center of why we worship God. It's not just about warm and fuzzies, it's about the work that he did on that cross so that we can worship him in spirit and in truth. So over to Annie. Just go pray for you and then we're going to worship. Father God, I want to thank you that you are a God who loves us, that when we look at the cross, we are reminded that you are the Messiah. When we look at the cross, we are reminded that we are in perfect relationship with you. When we look at the cross, we are reminded that you are completely human, that you were completely human, you are perfectly empathetic. We praise you, Father God, that when we look at the cross, we're reminded of our sin and the fact that you took that from us because you were blameless. I want to praise you, Father God, that when we look at the cross, we see love. This world's distorted what love is. I want to praise you that we know what unconditional love is because of what you did on that cross. I pray, Father God, that now as we go into a time of worship and your Spirit comes and ministers into our hearts, Lord, I pray that this will be made real in our lives. This is the center of identity. This is who we are as Christians. It's the cross. Come, Holy Spirit.